First night.
Sure. So this is about I'll start with this current draft, or one of them, one option. Let's go for the next slide. So the draft history. This is actually called Kiesel Alto 3 PDS, I think. And to show where we are right now. So in the versions 0, 1, and 2, this draft was actually discussing the third-party server discovery. So that not the client, but somebody on behalf of the client is actually detecting what server is in charge for giving guidance. With the version 3, we changed this code a bit because we detected that whatever we were working on, which is useful for third-party, can be typically used for, let's say, first-party server discovery and vice versa in most cases. So we started last time saying, okay, we just proposed a mechanism which is based on reverse DNS so that hosts can actually find out their domain name and then use this to go into the DNS and find the server's record for the domain to find the server. We got like extensive feedback that that's not a good idea. And so we went on with version 4, which is again a peer and third-party server discovery, where we right now define a procedure what an auto client can actually do to find out which server is actually in charge of him. And this implies we have like multiple ways of doing this. And we have multiple ways because there's not a single solution right now available, at least to our knowledge, where a client can easily detect a server on the internet. So let's go for the next slide. So some requirements. Last time we got the feedback about like, well, in GeoProof, and it's valid feedback, it was good feedback, but we wanted to make clear this is not GeoProof, and we have slightly different requirements. So, for instance, in GeoProof, if you get the wrong server, you might have loss of life, which is really severe. But in our case, if you got the wrong server, it might still have impact that you're causing, let's say, not a cost-saving effect as desired, or you're causing more costs, but it's not loss of life. It's a bit weaker than this, which does not mean, let me talk, we don't want security. It's just a heads up.
So, Martin Thompson, that's a little bit of a strange thing to say about this. I'll stand a bit closer. That's a little bit of a strange thing to say about the two solutions. I don't think this is really relevant to what you're trying to address here. Loss of life or otherwise just means that we need different levels of assurance from our security mechanisms.
Well, this is saying that, for instance, we could live with going for reverse DNS when it works, which you probably don't do.
There's a discussion open on that one at the moment. So I'd encourage you to come on Friday. We're having a discussion about that as well. But I think the issues with reverse discovery were not related to security and reliability and all those sorts of other things. They were related to the practicality of this thing and whether or not the reverse DNS was a viable solution, a reasonable solution, one that would work.
Okay, so then this got misunderstood.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So we tried not to bash on GeoProof, just to clarify this. It's just.
Hey, Richard Leamy.
Sure.
I would just make an explicit distinction between having a mechanism that works for a certain percentage of hosts on the internet versus having a discovery mechanism that has security attacks in which you could, like, for example, a DDoS attack, or like DOS attacks, right? So, for example, if there's a mechanism that's easily configured, and once it, you know that it works for 95% of the hosts, and you can still protect those 95% of the hosts from it, it works correctly for them, then fine. But, for example, if you have one that you're allowing forged guidance because we can't do anything better, then that may still be an issue.
Right, but that's included. It's not saying that what I said just a second ago. It's not saying that we just don't care about security.
Right. I would just say I would make an explicit distinction in the statement.
Yeah. I have to say this slide is inspiring me to go off and invent some peer-to-peer emergency services mechanism so that we can make...
Okay.
I just wanted to agree with Martin that, yeah, the requirements here and the ongoing debate about reverse DNS and GeoProof is more related to the tree climbing aspects and some of the weirdnesses there and some of the provisioning issues around provisioning these sort of records in the reverse tree. The idea of allowing forged guidance, I agree with Rich, is really not a good idea. You know, if you view this as something that's is a potential mechanism for someone to steer traffic on the internet and potentially steer quite a bit of traffic on the internet.
Like the Ritty Charter, it's influencing the better than random first selection of peers.
Well, right, but if people are guiding where they send traffic on this, that's a DDoS vector. And so, allowing forgery at this level, allowing forgery in not just at the protocol level, where you could, you're connected to one host and, you're influencing that one host, but at the discovery level, where you're potentially influencing many hosts, I think that's a big deal.
We need to address that. That's well understood. What I didn't figure out last time was that you're still working on a reverse DNS in GeoProof. This didn't came out last time, but it's good to know, so we can work there together. Okay.
Ronnie Evan. So there are two issues. One is the security. I mean, not the security, but as much as if it's not forged, if the information is how reliable is the information. And the other is whether the mechanism itself works with a certain probability. And I think probability is not that important because the probability is general. While probably if it doesn't work in a service provider environment, then it won't work for anybody in the service provider environment. So it's 100% probability that it won't work.
Right, true. Okay, let's go to the next bullet. So about assumptions. So assume that you do the other server discovery based on each IP address you have on the interface, and you execute it on a per IP address family. So because we spent some cycles on finding out if you could, let's say, optimize this, but we found that a bit cumbersome and error-prone. So we decided, okay, if you have two IP addresses, do server discovery for both IP addresses, because it might be, you maybe have an IP address which is in one provider, another IP address which belongs to a different provider, you might give different answers. Also, we'll 4v4, v6. And if there's a change in IP address, for instance, because of mobility or you close a laptop, you run over the street into the next internet cafe, you get a new IP address to restart the whole process. Okay, next one, please. So the protocol overview, or more or less the procedure. So let's start on the left-hand side. There are two times DHCP, don't get confused. So the left-hand side is about a DHCP option to be defined, where you get like the full Altus server address or FQDN delivered to you. This might be something some ISPs will deploy, but for sure you don't find this today, so we have like backup procedures. One is that the user puts actually in their correct domain name you need for the server lookup, and you go down to the new NAPTA lookup, which was proposed last time, which is integrated into the draft, or you have a DHCP option which delivers you the DNS suffix you actually have to use, or that's the last resort, that's also mentioned in the draft. If there's nothing like that, you go for a reverse DNS and live with it. Okay, next slide. So that was just said, you retrieve the auto server address via a DHCP option. That's probably the cleanest way for a service provider or network operator to tell to the clients that's the server you should be using or the FQDN of a server you should be using. Problem is, this needs to be defined, standardized, deployed, and there are some deployment issues with DHCP.
Richard Leamy, go back to the previous slide.
Sure. Or
maybe I'm splitting hairs here, but shouldn't user input eventually go, one option at least be user input goes directly into the eventual Alto server, as opposed to doing user input for your own domain name and then doing discovery of an Alto server?
No, the idea is that the user might know, let's say, the DNS suffix, but he still has to do a service lookup to find out, okay, what does it actually mean in terms of URL for the Alto server and then doing the DNS lookup to find out what the actual IP address is. But you could also go for, like, maybe that's the option missing very left, saying that you directly enter manually the Alto server address.
Okay.
I don't want to interrupt your technical discussion, but I'm going to talk a little bit about one of my pet peeves. I work for a Chinese company, and usually we're on the other side of the world, and that means that many of my coworkers have to use the audio service in order to try to follow what's going on with the meeting. I'm finding it difficult to understand what people are saying here because you're not speaking into the microphone, you're not speaking and enunciating clearly, and people who are on the audio feed will have a very hard time understanding what you're discussing. Okay, please try to make it a point to talk to the mic and to talk and enunciate clearly.
But the mic here is working, or you say, that's working, or? So more questions.
So I'm Martin Thompson again. I'm looking at this one, and I think Rich's comment regarding the user input thing is quite a good one. I think you need to entertain the idea that the user is going to be able to provide the final URL that you're looking at. So I think that one's probably the best solution for that, and that's the one that I think we took in GeoProof when we're looking at discovery. Take another read of 5986 and have a look at that. The other thing is I don't like the optionality of having two different DHCP options to get the same thing. I think you need to pick one. Well, and I'm going to recommend again that you...
You don't get the same thing.
Well, you're like ultimately looking for the same... You're looking to achieve the same purpose. And yes, providing multiple ways of doing that...
But having a DHCP option which provides you the DNS suffix can be reused many times for other purposes as well, isn't it?
That is correct, and that is actually one of the points of what's in RFC 5986 and what we did was to make it so that you guys could use that. And I noticed that you've gone and
it's
defined...
It's actually cited in that document, so it's like...
You have cited it, and
we
then
We're not reinventing stuff, or at least trying to avoid it.
but then you go and put additional options in there, and I don't think having those options is especially useful.
Okay.
That's just an opinion. Okay.
So next slide. This we had. Next one. So that's the process just that we're trying to retrieve the URL of the server by the Uninaptor. That's actually proposed from the last time. We have integrated that. I don't think there, hopefully there are no comments. This seems to be the way forward. Next slide, please. And this is basically the very right part saying, okay, either you go for user input. Like my server, and then I try to find out, use this, like say making the Uninaptor lookup. But this also might involve that you have to do tree crambling, for instance, if you have includes this complete IP address or FQDN. The DHCP option with our search suffix would be, I think, the better one, but we don't have it probably. And the last resort is using reverse DNS and also doing tree climbing with the caveat that we know all the problems, and especially there might be no reverse DNS, there might be IPv6 where it's not. I've heard that some people don't like that anymore. So we're working on this document, and this is what that actually does mean.
Martin Thompson again. I forgot to mention this before, and I apologize. The reverse DNS lookup part is actually a very difficult problem to solve, and we are still working on this in GeoProof as well.
Yes, we know.
The shorten the FQDN name until you successfully look up is a very... It's fraught with a lot of problems. When you delegate from myisp.net to westcoast.myisp.net, you cross an administrative boundary. And myisp.net might not have anything to say about westcoast.myisp.net and the services that they run. And they shouldn't be able to say anything about that. And so if westcoast... .myisp.net actually doesn't deploy Alto, whatever myisp.net has to say about Alto should not apply to West Coast. It's a standard DNS.
I understand
problem.
It fully. And I understand there are many issues, but we are aware, so also if they read the draft, it's written there that we're aware there are many issues like what you described. But we're currently working on something which is workable, which is used, for instance. If you go to BitTorrent, they're using it. There are problems with that. We're working on this.
So the alternative that we're currently working on is looking at the IP address itself and using the prefix of the IP address to determine this and actually looking at having the NAPTA records in the reverse tree. Now, there are problems with that as well with regards to actually getting things deployed into that part of the tree, but that is what we're looking at. And I think that's probably a more viable solution from a DNS perspective than what you have specified here.
So we are anyway on your back and reading stuff, but maybe we're just too slow in following everything. It's just right. And okay, thank you.
This is Peter St. Andre. I would second what Martin said. I think it's concerning to try to shorten the domain name and, you know, get into public suffixes, lists, and things like that. So certainly something to be aware of and think about.
We are aware, but that's, the point is, let's say, we're trying to find a working solution. And I talked with Peter Koch also to find out if there's a different way, and it seems to be there's a bit of rat hole where there's no real solution which is working right now. So, but we're happy for any input in that topic which can help to get something workable. Okay, next slide. I think that's the last one. Maybe he's going out. So open issues. So we discussed, like, we know about issues, about reverse DNS, especially also for reverse DNS for IPv6. We discussed it. We are working on this. This is not to say, well, we're done. We just deployed it. It's done. It's open for discussion. So this is like a first specification, or maybe questions first.
Sorry, I was actually on the previous slide. It just took me a while to get to the mic.
Sure.
This is I'm Randall Gellens. Try to speak clearly because I know it's difficult to understand otherwise. So my question is, the purpose of Alto, as I understand it, is for a service provider like an ISP to give information to applications so that they can not only get better service by shorter routes, but also the application provider benefits as well.
Right.
So given that, wouldn't it be in the, given that, it seems to me, it's in the interest of the service provider to make it easy for the applications to find the servers, and therefore there's an incentive by the application provider to configure DHCP options for server discovery. I know in a lot of cases, the provider of the server does not have control over the DHCP. They're different entities. GeoProof, for example, that may be the case. But it seems here that's less likely to be the case. So it seems to me you can have a bias towards the DHCP discovery option. I mean, maybe I'm missing something.
May I just, before we get too deep into the requirements discussion of this once again, I mean, I think what you said is correct. Certainly that incentive does exist for the ISP to be able to expose this information. And to some degree, it's important to understand that, like Alto is optional, I think any particular service discovery method that we're considering here is going to have applicability to some areas and not to others. If you were to ask me personally as an individual what I thought was the most likely way that you would discover a server, I think it probably would be user input, frankly. I think in much the same way, we don't give you a web browser and tell you, here's how you can discover a web page to talk to. You know, I mean, there's a context in which something like Alto gets invoked. There's already an application that's invoking it. So, but just important to understand, definitely those incentives exist, but I think the purpose of this document is to try to look at a bunch of different solutions which are going to have different applicability to different architectures.
I just wanted to say that not all service providers use DHCP right now, but have PPP. And introducing DHCP just for such an option is not, it's not really an option.
For the Richard Leamy, for the DHCP only option, one of the things that to keep in mind is there is a consideration for third-party discovery, in the sense that you have a P2P tracker who may need to identify the Alto server responsible for a particular client. One of the things that you mentioned in the draft is letting the client discover locally and then passing this information up to a P2P tracker. If that is not available, for example, you don't really do not want to modify clients or you can't for some reason, then having it be done at the tracker would sort of negate the, or mean the DHCP option could no longer be used. At that point, if you have a fewer set of ISPs, maybe manual input is fine, but this is just another consideration for...
Read the draft. It's there are like section at the end saying, okay, considerations for using at the client, considerations using at the tracker.
Right.
Because
I agree.
The tracker, you're lost with DHCP. It doesn't work.
I agree. I know you put this in the draft. I was just mentioning it because it hadn't yet been explicitly said in the debate here.
Yeah.
We're going to have to cut the line after Scott.
Yeah, well, Rich Wendy. And the other thing about DHCP is in some cases it's, even if the service provider is providing it to clients that are behind their broadband access modems, in some cases it's the real equipment, the computer is behind those gateways. The gateway eats up that DHCP option, doesn't pass it on, so that's always been a problem. One thing, I don't remember if I saw this in the draft, maybe I just missed it. If you have multiple DHCP options, it may get confusing. It's like, you know, if I got both DHCP options, which ones am I supposed to believe? Am I supposed to go path A or path B? I think that's kind of another argument for if you are going to do DHCP, it might make sense just to pick one and just go with it.
Okay.
I think speaking from my selfish operator perspective, you know, probably just spelling out the whole, either spelling out the URI or the one on the left-hand side probably would make more sense, because in most cases you can provide a DHCP option and say it applies to this geographic area, which is for the most part really what you really want to do here. But that's just me. And by the way, I'm very sympathetic to user input. I think that's how we're going to end up doing it. I just don't want my grandma to do it. That's all.
True, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Martin Thompson. Nice thing about third-party discovery is you can also use it for first-party discovery when your DHCP doesn't go all the way down.
Right.
So PPP or middle boxes or whatever else. So
that's the reason why we have like one draft doing like two things.
I was going to suggest that you just look at RFC 5986, define your own service tag, and go with that.
Okay.
Just simply reduce the amount of work that you have to do here. The reverse DNS lookup stuff isn't in there. So that's where we can probably discuss how we do that.
Okay.
Scott Bradner, to repeat something I've just said, but the likelihood of getting reasonably successful deployment with the fact that you've got an awful lot of devices in the home or wherever which are getting DHCP information from the provider and not providing that full range of stuff to their clients would make this an impossible task.
Yeah,
for a very long time until those things rot and get replaced. So I just don't see that DHCP is a viable option.
Okay.
Jan Zeroff, I have one last comment from Sebastian Kiesel from Jabber. He's reminding us that there's a specific requirement in the requirements draft saying the Alto client protocol must be designed in a way that the Alto service can be provided by an entity which is not the operator of the IP access network. And that means DHCP will not work for all solutions.
Right. Yeah.
Just a reminder from Sebastian.
But this is like actually one of the reasons to have like a procedure that you can do things if you're like sitting on access which is supporting DHCP, use it. If not, do something else.
Right. I think that's anyway the agreement from everybody here in the line that DHCP is not the use, does not happen in all scenarios.
Okay. So.
Go on.
So the last point I don't ask. Somebody will ask in this. So.
All right. So, on this last point, we actually have another presentation on a surprisingly similar document that is going to follow this on the agenda now. I think we are at a point where we really need to make a decision about this. I do not want to be coming back here at another meeting and presenting two documents that are both dealing with service discovery. I think, in fairness, that we should hear both of these presentations here today, and then I'd like to have some discussion about how we are going to not be presenting two documents again next time. Sound good?
Thank you for the good comments and feedback.